over in continuation of the visit with Everett this Tuesday at supper, the 15th of June, 1971. Channel 2 over in continuation of the visit with Everett this Tuesday at supper, the 15th of June, 1971. Channel 2 over in a continuation of the visit with Everett this Tuesday at supper, the 15th of June, 1971. Channel 2 over. And a continuation of the visit with Everett this Tuesday at supper, the 15th of June, 1971. Channel 2 over. And a continuation of the visit with Everett this Tuesday at supper, the 15th of June, 1971. And it's still some little time, 15 or 20, up until the recording begins.
I said, all right, then, if you want to, well, we can come back and pull the staple out and lower it and put another one on there if you want to. It'll still be, you know, work. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
I
told you that.
But he, they ran out of wire down at the McIntosh. Well, what it is, they bought, man bought the wire a dollar a roll cheaper than what they had to pay for it. They looked at old Price Lift, old big Reddick. You ever met him? You a pretty good sized man, but he's half again bigger than you are.
Oh, yeah. His name is Reddick.
Yeah. He's the one that bought this thing more that y'all bought y'all place from, Robert Smith.
Yeah.
Gave him $1,000 an acre for it and got $10,000 worth of wire on it, Johnny, that's making over. You seen that? That's Reddick. But to say that old fella got plenty of that Texas oil money. He must have. You see that fence? That thing running in the money a foot.
My Lord.
Half a mile of it.
Yeah. And it's about a dollar and a half a foot.
Not counting putting it up.
That's what I'm talking about. That's more money than he'll ever expect to make on cow. He's building a $70,000 or $80,000 home up there, you know, out there.
Golly.
And he wanted to buy Rick Walter when he was eating dinner. Rick was telling me. Said he just kept asking of him. Finally, he called me up again. He got a piece joining us, you know. And Reddick only got 20 acres, I think, from Robert Smith.
Yeah.
Paid him $1,000 an acre, and he thought he'd get rich, you know, back. Not on the road, you see. He's on the highway, you see. He get it reasonable, why he just go ahead and buy Rick's. Rick's got, I think it's 20 acres in here. And Rick told him he didn't want to sell it. He kept asking him, said, well, make me a price. He said, I'd sure like to have it. So Rick just added another $1,000 on it, $2,000 acre. Then he read it backed off of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rick's laughed, you know, and said he had to put up or shut up. You heard that old saying, in other words.
Yeah.
And he thought that would get shed of him, so that's what he told him, $2,000. Of course, Rick don't have to sell it. He got money.
Well, where's Rick?
He got a home in Gainesville. His is right next to his. His on that other road to go this way.
Oh.
River Styx Road. I call it River Styx.
And the joins that.
Mm-hmm, join it here. That's reading Reddick wanted, but he's a big man. Looked like his hand is that big. And that man got shoulder on him. Looked like he's a prize fighter.
Yeah.
And wearing a size 14 shoe. Ooh. Got a good understanding. His foot, you got a pretty good foot, but I don't believe you wear a 14. You might be 11.
Not in his class.
But that's some foot.
I never heard of anybody like that.
Yeah, he's a big man.
But he don't have to sell anything much down there.
No, he's not doing any business anyway. But he looked on the old price list, and they bought that wire for $10 and a half. And to come to find out, the blooming wire cost them about $11 and a half. So run out
the
and
best thing.
To get something. We got 15 more rolls from Seminole. When they cost them 12 and a half Seminole, 12 and a half a roll, blah, blah.
The best thing he could do down there is just not to lose money.
That's right. Well, that's what he wants to do, I think, because he must have an income or something, though, and he just wants to kind of break even and have something to kind of knock off, you know, how these big fellas are.
Like somebody like this fellow that built that house up there on the hill overlooking the lake out there.
Mm-hmm.
And run up the bills on you.
That's right.
Now that's
what awesome will do.
That's what it gets you. If he can just stay, I'd say, if he can just keep his records clear.
Mm-hmm. But they're not doing any business at all. I don't see how in the world. Pay him the bird to stay open. Operate. Of course, he got plenty of money, but he paid him a little salary. And Henry Bird been there for years.
Yeah.
But Henry knows the price. But that man looked on 2 years ago, you know, price book, on the old price.
Yeah.
And that's what he's through, you know. He's a talent. He's an architect. He's a smart man. And he wanted to get this fella bought the wire, in other words.
Yeah.
He was smooth, so he's willing to, your head, yeah, we take 25 rolls.
And
then
price.
They come along then and said, well, he wanted me to verify it. I said, I don't know. I said, I didn't figure it. You figured it. I said, Georgia figured it. Burda was his name, Burda. Georgia Burda, he figured it. Ada had the job. He didn't ask me to figure it. I could have figured it. I wouldn't know figured how many rods, was around, 90 acres.
Yeah.
And whether he wanted to put 5 or 6 strand or what he wanted to put. He talked about American wire, down there next to the highway. Well, if it'd been me, I'd have put American wire. Because eventually, he may have 1 or 2 horses and put 1 board on top of American wire and he'd have it made.
Yeah.
And it looks pretty.
Yeah.
American fence with 1 board on the top.
Yeah.
Horse can see it and he won't run over and break his neck.
Yeah.
Try to jump over it.
Yeah.
But he didn't ask me any opinion of it. They had the job, in other words. Then he built it around the yard there, American we did. I helped Ava with that all for a while there. Had that built. Then he went back to Ohio to attend to some business. Then he finally, come back and he had to get all this. Hauling man to haul the furniture from Fort Lauderdale. He owned a home down there, a nice home. And he says that he don't think he's going to rent it, he's going to sell it.
Yeah.
He cleaned it out of furniture. Mm-hmm. And they had that van loaded, taking them all day long to rearrange it in the house.
Good Lord.
So the doctor said, we don't want to get into that, do we? I said, no, that's some the moving van. Check everything. Well, the chair broke and something else was broke. Well, the insurance took care of all that. And they charge what they want to already for that chair. In other words, the chair might not have been, $40 or $60 chair, but they charge $200 for it. Insurance company to pay for it. But she was up there watching me with his wife, and I told Marcia, I said, no, she's not going to stop us. Not our business unloading furniture. Heavy boxes, ice boxes, refrigerators.
No, they got all that, those dollars and everything. They don't, no trouble for them.
No, 2 men, though, they're moving that stuff and draining it, putting it where they wanted it and set it up just right.
Yeah.
Checking it, got a bunch of dishes, all kind of antiques, and a bunch of them old beer mugs they gave them here somewhere else. So you got them down that little lookout thing there, that don't look too good. I told him, which I didn't like it. But he didn't say anything about it, but I'm not weighing over. I see something, I tell a fella, don't like it, I'll tell him though. And he said, well, I don't care if you don't like it. It's mine, it suits me, or the suit to please you to death. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
But I'm that type. But you know how this house is modern. Yours is like the old house of mine. It's, it's convenient, in other words, but I mean, between the dining area, the living area, and the where we are here, the kitchen and the dining area right next to it. Well, then the living room, got a one of those oval holes, see, that you look out the front door, see if anybody comes up the front of the house, see.
Yeah.
And that's where that blooming beer mug, a fancy beer mug, is sitting, half a dozen of them in that thing. And you have to look around them to see them. But I'm a big old ivory, something like this one that's big, beer, and colored up kind of a brown color, in other words, like old Bush or this other Milwaukee or something. And they done packed and they gave her that set of stuff.
And then she just put them in there.
And there's another little set of, a little tea set or something like a serving tea with a little stone picture, concerned, and little cups and saucers to go with it.
Yeah.
But I told her and his wife, boy, I'd have a cup of coffee, and she gave me one of them cakes that she'd made the cakes in a lot of them big pans for the Masonic meeting. That was Ava's wife's job to cook all that stuff, and had some left over. She brought it back and said she's going to freeze it and put it in the refrigerator. And I said, well, give me a piece of it. And a cup of coffee. So she did. And that's when I telling both of them and over there sitting there, he got a cold drink. Had a piece of one, a big 16-ounce bottle, part of a bottle sitting in the refrigerator, and that's what Air had. See, he don't drink coffee.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I tell him, Air and his wife, and I said, that didn't look too good, you know, that beer mug sitting up there, in other words. But she's pretty nice. I don't know what he is. I don't think he affiliates himself with any church. But she's Presbyterian, so she's been down there and met Jack Hatcher's wife and old Wilshire Walker, you know, they're Presbyterian, and one or two more.
Oh, really?
Presbyterian and McIntyre, see?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I don't
Jack's wife gave me a big old bowl of ice cream the other evening. And had bananas sliced up here, homemade, you know, one of these 6-quart electric churn. And I pulled by then. They just gotten through, you know, so she went and got me one of them salad bowls. And fill that thing up, about 40 cents worth. I said, what you must think I didn't have anything to eat. And I had a good dinner. Sister-in-law brought me down a good dinner. And I said, I can't eat all that. Oh, it won't hurt you. And old Billy Brown come up. You know what a monkey he is. Do you know him?
No, is he a monkey?
Yeah, he's a talking, he's a cat.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what does he know?
Not much. He don't have to. He got it made. His daddy left him in good shape.
Yeah. Well, what's he talking about?
Oh, he's teasing me about all the widow women and all that kind of thing. He wants me to hook up with one of them. There's 3 or 4 of them loose over there yet. And they all got money and all that.
Yeah.
And I did it.
Remember that. He
gets that, keeps asking. Yeah, keeps asking. But I've been knowing him. He's a little older than I am. I went to school with him, been knowing him all his life.
Oh, really?
His sister and I were in the same grade.
Yeah.
Billy's sister, Margaret.
Yeah.
But,
So you had to go back to Fred to get your
adjustment on the, and it's still in that.
So you didn't have to. You didn't have to change the transmission.
No, just that housing, the back housing on the other one where that reverse is wax on that lever.
Yeah.
If you ever seen one, it's got a catch. I think I told you like
a
dog. You know,
so
chain dog, you know, it catches your wire.
Cookie was afraid that if that was out of shape, the rest of it was too. You know?
But the forward gear all worked fine. Works better than it does now. I told Fred now, I'd jump in a little bit. He said, well, it might spool off. If you put the gas to it, it won't do like the old mobile. You do kind of jerk. And that's coming out of first to second gear. See, you don't know it unless you're in sand or something while you put the thing in might as well say like your automobile. You put it in drive. You don't hardly ever mess that low drive unless you get out in the field or something. But mine starts off, you know, that 1 and 4. You can put it in that 1 and 4 and it'll change itself, you know, with the gas.
Yeah.
If you get in the field and you want to go slow, just put it 1 and 2, you know, and it'll crawl like a blooming tractor in a low gear.
Oh, will it?
But when I used to put it in fourth, you know, unless I got a load on it, in other words, you know, a ton or something like that, to pull and fertilize in the field. And you go to feeding the gas, and it changes. But when you put it in that fourth, it'll change, you know, on the other 3 gears.
Yeah.
Right, first, going in the second gear, it's a little rough, as I told him. I said, it wasn't that way before you fixed all this thing.
Yeah.
He said, well, that's what I was doing, adjusting. And he says, he jacked it up, in other words, and you tell it, you know, wheel, and you put it in reverse, but it don't lock anything like that. It backs up in there.
Yeah, it's a little rough.
And just that one gear, it's a little rough in. But if you don't put the gas to it too hard, well, you don't notice it. But if you give it a little gas, you know, it's like the old model old mobile. That's the same. It's in the old model old mobiles in that pickup.
Yeah.
Anywhere from about a 50 to a 55 old mobile. Got the same transmission as what's in mine. The hydromatic, they call it.
Yeah.
I want to call the thing the hydrostatic.
Yeah.
But Fred said it won't tear up anything, won't do anything. He said it'll smooth out. And said that's as good as I can get it. He said if I mess with it too much, then it won't pull. I said, well, I want it to pull, because I'm planning on loading it down. Air wants me to carry off 4 calves for him. He got some 4 pretty big yearling he wants me to carry off. And he said the market's gone back up. I said, how much? He said, well, about 32 to 34 cents. Good calves, and he said they're big enough, and the cows need to be weaned off of them. He said they're big enough to sell.
Yeah.
And he said, well, you care 4 of them when you pick them. I said, well, yeah, I care 5 of them. 16 1,600 pounds.
Yeah.
I would.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But I told him, well, I'd care. He said, well, he thought he'd just get them off the cow and wean them, and they, maybe they'd pick up a little bit.
Yeah.
He said, but hey, in the pan gold either one are not doing too much.
Yeah.
Lucille got more weeds than anything else. She's fixing to pull out the Ohio again, and he can't make no deal with her. I said, well, I'm not working for nothing like I've been doing. I said, I'm letting my equipment stay on the shed. The last year I was in there music because I carried mine up there on Cedar Junior, you know, and we put up, you know, 25,000 bales, you know, Cedar and I did, and he finally went and bought that other big machine and traded his little one in, but mine and his both, you know, bale up that Cedar Junior.
25,000.
Yeah, and we sold a Swift, in other words, 150 tons. That's a lot of hay, 150 tons. And Cedar had been
well,
wanting it, but he filled everything in the world he had filled, old houses and everything else.
Well, where in the world did you make the hay?
Cedar Junior.
Where did he have it?
Well, he got 1,000.
He got a lot of land lease, hadn't he?
Yeah, he got the land lease, and he got
he got one.
Let me see, right there. You know where Clancy got his home? It's 200 acres right there in hay.
Yeah.
It's 200 acres that one block. That's a good deal of hay.
That's good.
And he fertilized and he got some hay.
Yeah.
Some of that stuff get 5-6 tons an acre.
Yeah. Pangol.
That pangol, yes, sir. The hay, it done fair the first cutting with the neck cutting, it didn't turn out too much. But first cutting, it done pretty good.
Sure.
Cutting with that hay bine, in other words. You got, let me see, you got about right around 3 tons an acre, the first cut. And the neck cutting, well, it didn't get about half that.
3 tons to an acre.
Put 400 pounds of
well,
regular fertilizer in it, and every time you cut it, well, then like lightning down and all down there, well, they put the sweetener to it every time they cut it.
Yeah.
They fixing to start cutting. But they sell some hay. They grossed $100,000 worth on hay last year, so
yeah.
That cow bed is just a little short out of their hay is what they make the money off.
Yeah. Well, how about that? Yeah, and hay don't, you have much trouble with them cows.
Oh, no. Of course, they having trouble with them calves now, tattooing and keeping the rain and that proficiency testing, 140-day test, and
yeah.
University is still aggravated with him, but he finally got moved. He went over in that new home.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the boy I got there, I didn't go to the wedding, I saw that pond boy. And he said, well, he said, the market just went bad. He said, I sent 380 crates up there to Atlanta, and I said, I don't know where I'm going to get 50 cents, $1.50 or what. And he said, I just don't have an order for peas. And I said, well, I don't have a full crate left over. What the Ruby sold, you know, the people put in the freezer. And Ruby kept all those conks. And I really 2 crates of them. And nearly a crate of those cabbage peas.
Yeah.
I believe I picked one or two of them in looking that bad. You come across a white looking pea about that long?
Mm-hmm. That's cabbage.
That's a cabbage. You've seen, you've probably
no,
seen
it.
No.
But I picked one or two of them you to look at.
Yeah.
But I said, I ain't gonna leave them here. You know, I consigned the business. That's the thing of the past. You might bring them on back and pull them out of my cows.
Yes. Oh, yes.
But where it is, Lawrence has done sold here for 2.5, see? And I told Jake, and he had a six-pack of beer on the seat there. And I told Jake, I said, what time the man come? Oh, he won't come until late, 7 o'clock. I said, well, I'll be over here by 6 o'clock. With the peas, what I have left, in other words, what Ruby don't use, in other words. So I had four, and they come up there, and Lawrence was paying them all. And I thought maybe, you know, back to pee, we got them across the road there down from the house where the pea patch is. And Lawrence had the colored people on his pickup, and he's paying them all. And I just, you know, at a night, if he's up there, I'd go into the field, you see, but I pulled his house that side of the road. And he said, Deb, says, Jake didn't tell me anything about you, you know, might have 3 or 4 crates. Says Magalie. Said Magalie might have 1 or 2 crates of conk, and he wanted them conk. He'd pay 3 or 3.5 for little conk, like, you know, I brought you. They always, you know, a dollar more than black eye, you know,
oh.
The white pea, because they're not as plentiful.
Yeah.
And then he said, the man had been gone about 10 minutes, and he's going to old Doc Lyle's, or either he's going to Delma Pond's shed to finish the load out.
Yeah.
Said, I didn't have a 48 crates. And all I had, and they didn't get through picking. The rain knocked, you know, cut them down a little bit, and they didn't get through. We had an inch of rain, you see.
Yeah.
And he said it knocked them off for a while, and they went back. But he said, you could have put your right in there and got the 2.5 on with mine. Because the man didn't have enough, and he'd go and fill out. So I beat it on over there, and I asked him, they hadn't seen the man. But that man, in other words, I think, in other words, he must have stopped at maybe Doc Lyle's and found a store out on it, in other words, and he was trying to buy him, you know, $1.75 or $2, in other words.
Yeah.
And I says, I can't leave him. I said, I believe I'm going to sell him. I said, used to sell them, in other words, but I've been busy over here, and one year, you know, I started university, and Ruby turned it over to her, and she sold a good many of them, take care of the rest of it, and picked up $45, you know, and get the half of back.
Yeah.
And, so I sold
where'd you get all those hammers?
I sold one to the restaurant, sold one to old Carl Smith's wife.
Yeah.
It would half it. I had the half of bought for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
But if you buy them now, they cost you about 50 cents, but you sell them to some people, well, you lose that.
Yeah.
And I'm hand now charging 60 and 75 cents for picking the thing.
Yeah.
So you got better than a dollar in them than the rain. Your cow to get more out of them, in other words, to go ahead and let the cow eat them. That's what Ernie told me last year.
Is that a cabbage tree?
No.
No, that's not.
No. There may be one or two of them black eyed now. But
is that a black eye?
No, that's a conch.
This is a conch.
I believe that's a black eye. You can tell by looking at it. Yeah, that's a black eye. I put one or two vines there, well, I give out a seed, you know, and on the end of the row. That's a black eye, though, and you can tell.
People like your neighborhood.
One or two of them in there, but those other are real white, those cabbage peas.
See.
I pick one or two, and they're kind of short. Mm-hmm. But the peas are white, kind of like that pump. But they're good eating.
People out in your part of the countryside, they're pretty well to do. They all got bank accounts.
Yeah, that's right.
They don't care much money on them.
No, he never had any money. He got to write a check, and I always say, you got any money? I said, well, I always try to care a little bit. I haven't got too much, but you see me, I got a dollar or two.
Well, now, who are these people that they don't use banks? And if they want to pay their phone bill, they ride over to Hawthorne or down at
Florida Power.
Yeah.
And pay it.
And pay it.
Yeah, well, that's the way the doctor do out your
own. And give them the money.
Yeah, give them the money.
Well, now, a lot of white folks do that, too.
Mm-hmm. But Fred, he didn't want to take no check. I said, I got a checkbook in the truck here. But I said, I got my check from Corky. He had a $200, you know, his paycheck. And I says, I got a little bit of money, but I haven't got that much cash on me. And I says, I got, I think, $8 or $9. And I said, I'm going to let you have that if that'll help you in the window. I'll see you the first of the week. And he said, well, he said, I got enough in the window. Well, his wife and done been there, you know, and he had some money on him, you know, $10, $15, $20. And
yeah.
She going with her mama, in other words, in that old big Pontiac
to
Ocala to get some groceries, I reckon,
that
Saturday. And he said, he's all right. And I said, well, I'll get it and give it to you. And
Why not?
I figured Alan Gibson, in other words, would have it, but he didn't have it. And I asked Kitty, I said, Kitty, you got the money? No, he says, I don't have too much. But I said, I know who has got it. He says, who? I said, H.A. Geiger got it. He cashed all them welfare checks to them people,
yeah.
In other words, and he got the money. He
had
$1,000 there, in other words, to cash them checks, in other words, and they get them.
Yeah.
And come on, H.A. said, yeah. I said, I'll cash it. That's all it is, $58, I'll cash it. So he gave it to me, and I bought some old loaf of bread and
a pack
of grits.
How does Frankie pay his light bill?
His mama pays it.
Well, how does she pay it?
I'll be dog if I know.
She gets in the car and goes over there.
I think so.
I believe
that's what the way they do. Yeah, hand them the money. Of course, she gets her check, you know, and H.A. cashes her check. And she got the cash money.
So
Frankie cares, oh, what to pay the light bill. He pays it.
So she
it's
got
in her name.
She got the cash money on her all the time.
Yeah, she got the cash at the house.
Now, that's the thing about it, you see. And then you go all around this countryside, and you'll find people who do that. And all you've got to do is go down there to Florida Power over there to the telephone office.
And pay
who comes in and pays cash.
Yeah.
And then you can just go around the countryside whenever you want to.
And them people got the cash at the house. They got it on them.
And catch them there by themselves just help yourself.
But he never carried any cash. Sometimes he'd have $3 or $4 on him. But the other day, if we stopped down at, coming back to that pup, I said, let's stop at Lily. We can get the same deal. We get trade rent for $1.45 or $1.65. We get it done at Lillis for $1.
And where's Lillis?
On the dual highway, this side of Ocala, that where O'Neill had his big place.
Oh, there.
Yeah. Place right across the road there. You know where the railroad and O'Neill had his all the equipment, all his road construction, trucks and everything?
Yeah.
Just across the road there. Lillis place, they call it.
Yeah.
And they serve a country meal there. Well, up yonder the same way. That was a good meal there. The whole, everything, in other words, I don't know. I made a glass of tea. I had about 3 big glasses of tea. It was hot, you know. And it wasn't $1.15, $1.25, all it was up there making open.
Yeah.
But Lillis got it for $1. They said, now they give you beans. Had some Ford Hook Llamas. You know, fresh ones shelled out.
Yeah.
And nice potatoes and gravy. And I got a hamburger steak, and I think they got a 2 pieces of chicken. Smothered chicken, you know, with gravy.
Yeah.
You know, what you call it? I call it smothered, you know what I mean? It's kind of broil, I reckon, and gravy on top of it. And that kind of gravy they had on the mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
And anyway, he wanted the other vegetable, wanted tomato, and I think I got cow peas. I believe that's what I got, cow peas. And they give it to you in a sauce, you know, about like that. Shaped a little bit different. And they got the tomatoes on, and I got my peas in the salsa. And one with $1. $1 in the tax, $1.03 or $1.04. And they didn't have any money. And he said, you got any money? I'll have to write a check. And I said, well, I didn't, the people take the check. Well, he said, you get it, and I'll just pay you for the, you know, hauling the pup. He didn't have no money to pay the gas. I got it down at Kmart. Now, you get those tickets, and you get 2 cents a gallon off. It's about 26 cents, I believe, what gas is down at Kmart. And I used to fill up and go. And I paid for that gas. It's taking, I think, about $3 worth of gas to fill it up. And he said, I'll just write a check for all of it. Well, they come on back, well, he'll give me a check for $6. He said, that all right? Well, I told him it's all right. But usually, he hired that colored boy, you know, get it. He charged him $8, you know, to bring the ton, a ton and a half, or whatever, you know, brings. He got a 3/4 ton GMC. But I didn't really figure me, in other words, well, he'd get it, you know, just expensive. Well, I bought $3 worth of gas and paid for his dinner. It was a little over $1. That's $4. So I just got a couple of dollars, you know, just for the time going down there picking it up, see? But those fellas and I, they have to back it in there, push it in there backward, in other words. That boy laughed about that. Had a vehicle out of there. I said, well, it makes me feel good that I even got something to ride in. Now, he'll take your tractor and ride over the highway with him. But I'm not too much of getting on one of my tractors driving over during the highway, pay road. And I told Larry, I said, we got to be careful now. They say they're going to push this farm emblem law, in other words, on you.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have them all that business on the all on that thing and have your lights and everything, you know, fixed on the thing if you're going to drive you late in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I said, we got to get some sticker thing. This Farm Bureau, they don't give them to you. You got to buy it everything. They card money for them, too. And I said, I had one from a big truck, but I don't know, a tractor, but I don't know where it is. It was the kind, you know, just stick it on the, I believe where the little tail light was. You stick it down in it, in other words, on the fender. It had, used to have lights, you know, but they done been knocked off now. I don't know yours, did you get lights on the fender of yours?
No.
Back one?
No.
Mine used to have, but they done knocked off. We got lights on the front.
Yeah.
But I don't believe they're burning, because I don't drive one at night. I'm going to get enough of one in the daytime without driving a tractor at night. But both of them got lights, you know, on them, and the A model got a big light in the back, in other words, that used to and had a single plow. You could turn land, you know, and put that little kind of a spotlight, turn it right on the fur and where you plow it, and you see what it was doing back there once in a while, see? Because you're right back there.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
You could just go all through the night.
Yeah, going through the night, in other words. And your front tire, you know, it'd stay in the rut. It wasn't no trouble to hold it in the rut, in other words. Of course, you had your head. But it was staying on that rut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eric, now what's opening up now? The watermelons.
Yeah, it's full brain. Dick wanted to help down, but I ain't gonna fool with huffing down that bunch. Dick put it cutting mine.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm gonna bother with the melon.
Do they have? They
fixing to start. Yeah, he got 1,000 acre down at Circle Square. 1,000 acre of melon. That's enough fool with it. He's interested in. Of course, the other people will bring them to him, but. Bob wanted that color band out to cut them, and we went over the other afternoon. He called Martin, told him about to come over there, and went over there. And well, he studied, had his hand had Bob. You know Bob Becker? You don't know him. He stutters. Said Johnny Lee, Bob, $20 something, and passed on by and went down there unemployment and wanted to know, you know, if, how long he'd been working for me and wanted to know if I had employment insurance on him. And I told him, no, it. I didn't have one, and I wasn't, he don't work just part time. And I didn't have to carry it on him. For him to go after the Crosby, who aren't people, in other words, where he'd been picking oranges. He laid up and he wanted to get some money for him. He's dragging 1 foot and about half drunk, so they said.
Yeah.
And he said he owed me $20 and said, I got to go to town and get some parts. Don't have about 2 or 3 jobs in to work on in this shop. And nobody to do the work and got to go and get some parts. Said, I'll be gone about 2 or 3 hours. Well, I told him right quick. I couldn't wait around there no 2 or 3 hours going to look at a patch of watermelon and see if they're ready to cut. And wasn't going to get nothing part. I was straight with him, see. I wasn't no important executive or president or nothing. But I wasn't that hard up, you know, for a job because I can get a job any time. No way. No question about getting a job.
Well,
I said, no, he says, I'm not taking either. And he finally said,
Where was that?
Right at Bob Becker filling station.
Yeah, yeah.
And I come over to the dock and he got a Chevrolet automobile, yeah. Right, new one.
Yeah.
And he said, it's right over. I said, he called me and wanted you and I to come over and look at the watermelon and thought he'd have to cut them. And that's when he'd asked me about, you know, if I had a truck. Well, he wouldn't bother with his truck. I'd just, you know, go ahead and get a crew, you know, haul them, you know, and put them on a truck.
Yeah.
You know,
roll
them on
a
truck.
Well, now, what's Cookie going to have to do to that truck to get
He
truck?
Got another motor in there. He's going to just slip right in there right quick. That motor's froze up, he said. Now, somebody, I believe Fred or Carl said you might be able to take the plugs out and just pour some brake fluid or skunk oil or something in there, you know, something that's penetrating, kind of a penetrating oil. And let it set overnight, a day or so, in other words, it might break it loose, yeah. Might break it loose.
Yeah.
Which it might. But the cook had taken the crank, in other words, and about to bend it, in other words, he's pretty strong.
Yeah.
He said, now if that boy of mine had one, he'd have bent this crank. He's strong as a jackass, that boy is.
Yes, he is. Yeah. And he helps it looking?
Yeah, he's a buck. Yeah, he is that. Yeah.
So he got to slip in a new
motor. He got another motor he bought for $45, and the man said it was in good shape.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
And he said, I'm just going to be the quickest, put that in and slip it in there, see?
Yeah.
And he said, and I get a little time, while then I'm going to freeze that, you know, take the pan, the head off of it, you know what, and loosen the piston and see how the rings are. And see, the rings is what's holding it. I imagine they done probably rusted, no oil or nothing got into them. Then he says that, and I'll have another motor. In other words, if something happened with it, I'd pay $45 for. But it's just like the one I have, a Chrysler motor, 47 Chrysler motor.
Well, now, he's going to put that out in the watermelon.
Yeah, that boy's going to start with it right away. It's got the sides on it and all. I gave him his rod in the tailgate. All he got to do is put a little more hay in the back end of it and put that rod right there and go on and let him throw them up there and stack them in there. Load it down.
So he didn't get it running over to a place.
He bought his tow bar and pulled it, in other words. Then the tire, the boy wouldn't let him have that tank, and had to take one of the duals off, put on the front, one of the front tires about half flat. And he wondered if he could put it, you know, to make it open before he got air. I said, no, I believe he ruined that tire. So this truck's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Well, all that little truck of his could, you know, do to pull it out from under the shed. I told him it looked like I'm going to get my big tractor and pull it out. And he's bagging on that full-speed transmission, that Ford, but wasn't no weight on it. He just spinning the wheel.
Yes, yeah.
And that boy told me to pull it, and he'd push. You know, maybe he could push more than I could.
Yeah.
I said, this was pushing didn't help him much. I said, jump at a time or two, in other words, and get it out of these holes, you know, where the back tire is setting, and it'll go.
Oh, yeah.
So it finally got it out of there, and the boy had the tow bar on there when he come. Of course, he had to get his wife, she had to get grocery and pick up somebody and Hawthorne, this, that, and the other. It was kind of late, and he got there that evening, and it looked like he was going to come like, well, the season rains. So he said he'd be out the next morning. He tried to get the air tank from somebody and pump that tire up. But he couldn't get one. That's when he brought the jack to jack up the front and a dual. You know, you take all one of them. So he'd taken all one of the dual and put up there and put the one that was slack in the back of his pickup and, he tore out with it, and the boy got in that old big car here and towed that thing in overdrive, and he'd taken away like a scared rabbit in an automobile, and you throw the car to pull a big car that is, well, it'll take off and go. And that boy gunned it, and wasn't that thing taking off like a hot rod.
Oh, he gunned it?
Yeah, he gunned it. And he said, that's the reason I don't turn my car over to him. He'll tear it up.
Yeah.
I was like, cook it up.
Yeah. Well,
I said, he's not buying himself all that way. They want to see what one will do.
Yeah.
And I said, he had rode not too good at me slip it and knock those arms on his tie rod underneath there. It's lower than really the pan.
Yeah.
And I said, now if it went down low enough, got one of them flint rocks on that pan underneath there,
yeah,
you'd have something in, like that man running the stump and bent the axle.
Yeah.
Spun the axle on it and messed up all the power steering, in other words.
Yeah.
One of the Fred and them, you know, had, I said, not hardly, not a new model of this. He got the old power steering job, the old big car, the old Mobile 98s and Pontiacs and that kind of stuff, you know, the older model.
Yeah.
But I says,
oh, yeah, that
he probably got a Cadillac and a Lincoln power steering, in other words, over there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of late model, but I said, not for this little car here. I said, that thing there is special. That little Nova 2, it hadn't been out but just 2 or 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
I think they call it Nova 2 or Chevy 2 or some kind of Nova.
Yeah.
Got the air conditioning, all that power steering on it. So I cut air and I out of having the car. And I said, well, how about asking her for her Continental, that Lincoln? No, he said, I don't want to ask Helena, her name. I don't want to ask Helena for Continental Lincoln.
Yeah.
But he said, I tell you, she'll cash to get her something to eat.
Yeah.
If I ask her, I said, well, I'm going to ask her. So we're going down to your house and fix a sandwich, get a soda water, and find something other that to eat on without getting something out of the deep freezer or they're frozen and have to cook it. But they had beans and stuff, you know, peas, they canning up and stuff. And heated up a little something.
Well, now, Saturday morning when they come, you was there.
Yeah, uh-huh. I told him that I'd be around until 10 or 11 o'clock before I left.
Yeah. So
he got there about 7 o'clock.
Oh, he moves whenever
he got there about 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
And they left the pickup there. You know, the first evening after, you know, started to mist and rain like it is now.
Yeah.
Because he said he didn't want to be on the road and he'd go in the shortcut and head on out, see.
Yeah.
But I don't know how does he go? Did he come through this way or did he go down the other way or how does he go? Go to his house?
I think he goes through Rochelle.
Goes through Rochelle or goes through up here by his, making over Cross Creek? He probably goes that way, Cross Creek. Turn that, make it open, go straight on out across the road where that man got his new, you know, where that fence is.
Right.
Goes that road.
Right.
And hit that Johnson station over there. Then goes on in the where he lived.
Okay.
Well, does he live this side of Hawthorne?
No, he lives just over the over there, overhead.
Just over the overpass, on the left or right?
Right.
He does?
He got a chain fence around it.
Well, he got a little farm in there.
No.
He hadn't.
He got several acres. he bought that at the right time, and there were several acres with that, and it all backs up on that nice lake back there.
Back up.
Well, it's not past the cemetery, is it? Is it past the cemetery on the right?
It's got a couple of houses from the overpass.
It's not past that antique house, is it?
No.
Before you get to that antique shop, isn't it?
I don't know.
And then the doctor or something got a place down there, got a sign, you know, down there on the lake. He's this side of that. You said just one or two houses, just over the overpass.
He's
right on the edge of town, isn't
he?
That's a big lake. He's on the edge of it, then, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I fished that with old Sid Martin.
Oh.
Yeah, old Sid Martin. Then I went out with old James Phillips. You know him?
Mm-hmm.
James Phillips, he run that co-op, Swanee store, they call it then. I think he's still running that Swanee store, grocery store, kind of a chain.
Yeah.
But
well,
everybody said I handled a little watermelon, and we loaded that, you know, as you see that lake, and I mentioned it, and he said, yeah, he said, bring your rod and reel, and he said, we'll try them one evening.
Yeah.
I told him, all right, I said, how about Saturday? He said, we'll round up the watermelon around noon, and we'll try them Saturday after dinner. I said, that'd be fine.
Yeah.
So then we went out to that's his brother-in-law, old Phillips. Had married his sister. Philip married the old big kind of commissioner, married his sister. Went out in his house and they had a good meal, you know, had butter, beans, and peas mixed together.
Yeah.
cooked, you know, and ham hock, you know, mixed with them, and iced tea and fresh made cornbread, you know, and a little roll, a little baker thing like that, and had a little sugar in them corn muffins. And that was really good eating, I'm telling you. But
could you make anything at working with Dick Whittington down there?
Not too much. The aggravation and the ride, in other words, I don't like that. And the people dealing with people now, they get where they're harder to deal with. And I don't care too much about it. You got to telephone another half hour, and you got to do a good deal of riding. And Dick said, well, he says, you don't want to, what's called a field man. Don't want to be a field man, says, that you be the superintendent of the sheriff. I said, well, I touched it bad. I just came off of a job, you know, and I had plenty of headaches in it.
Yeah.
People working, put up with all that.
I don't
stuff
see
that,
that would be as rough down there as it was over there.
No, it probably wouldn't.
Because these colored people down here,
they're not
pretty civilized.
Yeah, they're not what's called migratory too much. Now,
no.
You can see the Cuban and all, they migratory. That's the one that having trouble with. And of course, some of these younger ones, you know, they kind of bigger and smart. Like that boy said, he got in a fight today. Showed me his big fish, you know, and he got a bomb one in bigger mine. And he said, I hit him and said, I might have cracked his jaw. So we hit that coon. I said, what? Claude DeRuca. Well, they got all the laws and cops and everything. I said, you call your daddy? No, I didn't interfere with him with the job. I said, they're taking care of it, and got a question, said, you're going to put me in jail. I said, what are you going to put you in jail for? I disturbing the peace. And that's when he told me, you know, he disturbed the peace, and you know, when he hit that coon, you know, the fist and the jaw, and like to broke it.
Yeah.
I said, what's the start over? I'll be a boy named Frankie, or Frank or something, man. What is this boy name? He ain't like your name Frankie, is he?
Well, now, who are we talking about?
Cookie's boy.
You mean he's been disturbing the peace?
Yeah. Got in a fight at school with the niggers. They had a free fall. Yeah, I believe it. Isn't that that boy's name?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he tell me about it. I said,
Franklin.
Franklin.
Yeah.
Franklin. Frankie.
Frankie, I believe that's what I believe he got. That's what I think he's telling me.
Well, no.
And I said, that's for his daddy comes. See, he said, he coming on, but he had to get mama and get this and other. That's when he had to go buy a grocery store, you know. And she had to spend the money, you know, for grocery. Somebody else was with him, and some of I hug people or something.
That's on Friday.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Friday evening. And he said he was going to come, you know, on Tuesday wind.
Yeah.
But he got tied up on the job and everything happening. And I think that gal, his daughter, I think, graduated. And this Henderson, in other words, getting her a $35 or $50 dress, you know, evening gown, that would wear one time and hang it up in the closet and let it rot. All that kind of business.
Yeah.
But that's the time for you now, you know, how it goes.
Yeah.
Anyway, I talked to the boy and I asked him, he seemed to be a pretty friendly fellow. And he kind of took me to me. And I said, well, what was it called? Anyway? Well, he says, no girls, white girls, says, no nigger wanted to associate with them, says they want to borrow some money from them. And they wouldn't let them have it, and they kept on molesting them. You don't want to borrow them money from a white girl to buy them soda water, a candy, a cracker, a potato chip, or something. And they told them they wasn't going to lend them any, to go on and leave us alone. Said, wouldn't do it. And he said, asked one of the girls what it was, and that's what she told him. She, he held the thing and said, just wait a minute. I think I'm going to do something about it. Well, instead of him seeing the principal of law or something, he'd go and see them other boys. You know how your teenagers are now. He sees his buddy, in other words. And they're setting on go, you know how the friction is in
there. Oh, my
God. And they come back and they wanted to go to join their him. That's slugging. And that's when he said that they had them overpowered, you see. And they went and got some more help, in other words. And he said that 1 or 2 hours went and got some more, and they wound up, well, there must have been about 25 or 40 of them into it. And that's when the law, you know, come.
Yeah.
And he's the one that was doing the slugging, and he hit one of them, you know, and gave him a pretty good jar in the jaw, and he said he might break it, you know, and that's when he was talking to him, and he says he sassed me and said something that I didn't like, and he said right there before the law, I let him have some more of it.
Right there before the law?
Right there before the law, yeah. I said, what to do then? So they pulled us apart, in other words, and that's when they're talking about they're going to arrest me. And I said, what for? He said, disturbing the peace. And he said, he wasn't disturbing the peace. He kind of straightened them coons out and messed with them white girls. Yeah, wanted to borrow money from them, in other words.
Yeah.
And he didn't like that. And he got his buddy in there when they went to have the free fall. I said, you didn't call your daddy? Oh, no. He don't know it yet. I don't know whether you told him or not. You haven't seen Cookie anymore the last few days.
No.
Hey,
Cookie's on a draw, too.
Yeah, I think he is. Yeah, he's been ready to fight, too. He don't like anyone. But
he
said, like, quick, you know, but he sure didn't want to get in that union. He said, knew, in other words, that they understood. And I said, yeah, that's what my brother did. And they jumped him from about $2.17 an hour to about $4 and something an hour.
Yeah.
You know, he had to pay his men. And they wouldn't do anything, in other words. And he called me down and he says, I got this job and they want to plaster. They want to go ahead and plaster the building. I got to get this duck in there. And he says, you can do it. I know you can. He said, let's go over and we can do it in about 2 hours. And 9 o'clock then, you see. In the meantime, we got the stuff loaded on the truck and gone over there, you know, all the way over that Love Island, you know, across the cove where that Clearwater, where it was, where they pumped that sand out and built a nice home there, in other words, and that, where you're putting all that air conditioned heating stuff up in the ceiling. And I looked at the job. I didn't know anything about that kind of work, but I wasn't no dummy, though, and I knew that we never would finish it by no noon, 2-3 hours. Didn't figure it could, and we didn't. So we got sandwiches over there, you know, at the little curb hop, you know, at the beach, you know, where the people lay out in the sun and get a suntan and put all that oil, you know, all over them, in other words, keep them getting blistered. And let Mother Nature, you know, give them a tan, they call it, in other words, then some of them get cooked. It's pitiful to see some of them conditioned to get in.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we ate one of those quart of root beers, and they got two hamburgers, and ate that, and went back to work, and taking about 2 more hours to finish it after eating. And then he said, "Well, we go back and get all our equipment, and be ready to go, you know, just about 6 o'clock, and we get on across the bay there, you know, and going up in them creeks, you know, and it won't have to be too dark for our mother to be wanting to come out of there." And he says, "They come out so fast, they jump and hit you in the stomach, knock you out of the boat if you don't watch them." I said, "Well, I'll catch them if they come at me." And we pull up them channel, you know, and the tide, you know, start coming out, and the mullet come out of there. And once in a while, a darn pauper will come out of there, and he'll turn the boat over. If you don't watch him, you don't get out of his way or get in the room, he'll turn the boat over when I'm pauper. You know, like a doggone hit with potiphar just about. That big thing, you know.
Yeah.
They can part the water like a submarine, boy, too.
Yeah.
So I told him all right, and the next morning, went down to the shop, and his boy that he's in business with, his wife was a bookkeeper. And he had me a check wrote out, in other words. And he's paying me a union scale, too. Told me I might well have it in exam, in other words. Said, done been figured, the job done been figured. And said, you and I done more work than if we'd have sent four over that was on the union to have done it. Well, I worked, in other words. I handled a staple gun, and he, you know, come along and set the joint, in other words, and got the curve, you know, figure, in other words, and got the little, you know what, you get hammer, nail, and other tack it, you know, make you bend, you know, when you're running that duck. You've seen that stuff, you know, in a tube, and you put that stuff over it to hold the heat in, and then you, the cool air, you know, your air conditioning, in other words, in the summertime, have both units out of the same duck. And I didn't much want to take it. I said, yeah, you might as well take it, so I kept it. But,
well,
he finally dissolved a partnership, and he got out of the thing. He had a chance to get a little bit of money out of it and make a little, and the company gave him another old truck and an old car, you know, to kind of run around with, old car, and kind of figure on little jobs, and an old truck, you know, to keep your tools and stuff in, kind of like these carpenters and all got, you know, with a shell, you know, with the scissors and cutters and bending and all that, you know, in the drawers of it. But he didn't stay quit long. They called him back, and he's still working. But they just got back. They've been to Massachusetts, went up there. His wife's brother got her brother's dying with that cancer. He got that bone thing like Max, and it's eating him up.
Yeah.
And they done worked on him and cut on his bone and everything. And then after it left his bone, then it went into his vocal cords, in other words. Now he can't talk.
Yeah.
And he's
Eric, you didn't plan on watermelons anyhow.
No, I didn't, because I had plenty to do. I told Eric about this woman. Now, she wanted to, you know, work the thing just like everybody else. Well, I said we'd work the hay with her. And I had people that would, you know, haul the hay and would put it in a barn. But I said, this business, you and I are working ourselves to death with a trailer and my pickup truck and this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
I says, I'm too old to be working that hay like that. I'll bale it. I'll rake it and I'll bale it.
Yeah.
And I'll get some help to pick it up and they'll put it in the barn for 12 cents a bale.
Yeah.
And if you want to do that, all right. If you don't, well, let it do like it did last year. She paid 42 cents and they done it all. If you want to do that, well, she can do that. 42 cents a bale. I said, we'll do it that way if she wants to do it that way.
Yeah.
But it'd be a little cheaper for us to go ahead and handle it and let... We'll take half the hay. And her half would be left to the field, and she'll have to pay the men that puts our half in the barn for 12 cents.
Yeah.
And we'll have our half, and we'll handle ours. We'll have somebody do it. That's the way Lightning is done here, and they'll put that out. But he said, well, she don't like the idea of her having to furnish all the fertilizer. I said, well, if she don't, why let her go and buy the hay? If she wants to, go ahead and buy 1,000 or 2,000 bales of hay for the 150 head of cattle.
Yeah.
If she wants to do it like that, I said, it won't make me mad. It don't matter.
Now,
it won't make me mad.
She can just call the play.
Yeah, just call the play. But I says, the idea of me doing it, I said, hey, there wasn't anything in it. I said, you got to overhaul one of these things. And I said, 10 cents a bale, ain't nothing in it. You and your equipment now, and them things cost money. And I said, you
but
know
now,
what?
Is,
and take 2 years. It's taking 2 years to pay me. And this man that got it last year, she paid him $800 a check when he got through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she didn't pay you.
Taking the 2 years to pay me.
Yeah.
Yeah, she gave me $50, you know, when she get a check from the school, you see. She's driving the bus then, you see.
Well, who is that?
She's driving the school bus. And she worked the lunchroom and drive the bus and worked the school, you know, see.
And still got 150 head of cattle.
Yeah. And she got to get the money from the government for them children, you know. That was in the insurance plan or something. And the stuff she had, when her husband died, that canceled that. It just rolled off the books.
Yeah.
You're like bad debts, you know. You talk like bad debt, you know. You write it off the book, you forget about it. You're supposed to. And that was her debt, what she owed, in other words. Why, it was written off the book. That big M farm oil is, I think, $1,100 owed on it. And the $2,300 owed on the little tractor she had.
Oh, the insurance did all that.
Yeah, just straightened the whole works out.
Oh, that's cheap insurance.
Oh, yeah. Then on top of that, why then why she get paid so much for those kids, you know, it's left that on the age, you see.
Yeah.
The two of them, the boy and the girl. The
and
girl, I think
let,
she graduates this next year, I believe.
She lets you hold the bag for another year.
Yeah, 2 years. Yeah. 2 years for
you
all the money.
Well, now look.
And I told him at 10. I told her.
Who
I said,
is she and where she live?
Well, she's a cousin to the girl, you know, Johanna's wife.
Oh.
I mean, her husband and Johanna's wife were first cousin.
Yes.
Yeah. Their mothers were sisters.
Well, where is she?
Lucille.
Where's her place?
It's on at church, you know where the Methodist church is? Turn that Grady Road. And she owned 400 or 500 acres up there. Got 150 head of cattle.
You go down there to the Methodist church and turn?
This side of the Methodist church.
It's shallow?
Yeah. You know, one house, two houses, one on each side of the road.
Yeah.
The grass field there, you know, that started the barbed wire fence around. He wanted me to put the fence up.
Yeah.
But then the boy got drinking beer and somebody said, you won't get your money putting up that fire strand. I think here's his fire strand. And he started putting it up, you know, fencing that. It's the coast of Bermuda, about 20 or 25 acres. And that graded road right that side there. Just follow it on around then, you come around there. And there's two houses, on one on each side of the road, and she owned both the houses.
What's her name?
Lucy Gladden. Lucy Gladden.
Oh, yeah. Lucy
Gladden. Yeah.
Now, how long you known her?
I knew her when she was about 12 years old, 10 years old.
Yeah.
She's an orphan girl making over. That boy, you know, started going with her. She got slipping out when she was young.
Yeah.
Mid Graham raised her, Hart Graham's wife.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and Hart, you know, he tied on her. Never. Louise wanted to get out among the boys and girls, you know, and have a little fun.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to get out.
Yeah.
Hart, he'd get out, but he didn't want her to get out.
Yeah.
Hart go out with them young girl, in other words, but he didn't want that girl to go out. Then finally, in other words, Harvey, he slipped out and married her. Got out from under. Brought out then. He got 3 children by, and then that cancer carried him out. He's 49 years old when it got him. But She got three children, the girl married, and the girl graduated this year, and the boy, he's only about, I think he's about 11 years old. He's in the 4-H, in other words, the FFA, or 4-H business.
What happened to Willie when he sold that timber and couldn't collect from the man?
I don't know whatever happened. He got a little of it and they cut it off, just like my sister-in-law did. You know, had the junior horn in court and got three payments of $50 apiece and it cut off and he couldn't do any more.
Yeah.
And Willie about the same way with the timber man. Now, Willie let him get by, I think, Willie. He'd give a sad story and Willie was just easing, tender hard, and then went by a certain length of time and the court wouldn't do anything about it, see?
Well, anything like that? The man going off and getting the money and he wasn't getting any of it.
Business judgment, I reckon. Managerial ability, whatever you want to call it.
Well, when the man went out and sold the timber, Willie got his part of it.
Yeah, but the man used it for his benefit. He bought a car, in other words, and fed and clothed his family.
Right.
That's
there,
what he said.
And lived right down to Willie's nose.
Yeah, but he's waiting on the man all the morning. He stopped there, you know, and they tell him, said he didn't have to sell that timber. He'd offered $40,000, I think, for it or something like
Willie?
That.
Willie?
Yeah.
That's a new growth. How long has it been? 10 years since he cut it?
That other man didn't cut it all. He stopped him. He cut part of it.
He
cut him off.
Yeah,
he didn't cut no more of it.
No.
But now then, he got the timber in there.
Yeah.
Joined my place over there. There's a world of timber. I sold the timber off of mine, I think, twice. Willard had anything cut on here.
Yeah.
Mine been sold twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, on my place. And I could sell it again on mine.
He just slipped up. He just let the man do it.
But Willard's selling her. It's like Geiger said, of course it's all right, Willie can get somebody to do it, but he got that boy from Fairfield, that Mac boy.
Yeah.
He's got a right new Ford, a Chevrolet truck, and a chainsaw, and everybody wanting to make a little money at pulpwood, you know. And if you can, they'll beat you out of your pulpwood and get a little block timber and cat and get a little veneer strip, and they get money for that, you know. But you take pulpwood, you know, it ain't nothing unless you want to clean something. Well, I know
you
can bother with it. It's just
you've
nothing
got
to it. $8 or $9 a cord, or what do you call it, a unit.
You've got to buy enough to fill a big trailer before you get there.
But Willie's going to get him a fence up. He's going to fence all that 133 acres here, there, you see. Most all of it's in woods. You've seen what little bitty he got there in the color basin. And he got that man to come up there, and he said, here come the man now. I got to go, boys. See, Aaron and Willie ride together, and I teased Aaron about Willie being his supervisor and boss man and all that, and Willie doesn't like that. Aaron doesn't like that.
Yeah.
But Willie done told the boss man, and he must have, you know, got in with him or something about that Saturday and Sunday work.
Yeah.
Willie just wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
But some of these jobs, you got to work a change shift over to somebody and do it. But Willie's been so far able to get along without taking any of that blunt, you know, that Saturday and Sunday business.
Aaron has to take it.
And Avery got to take it.
Yeah.
And that's when I teased him, though, and it just makes the, you know, the nerves, you know, a little more tighter, taunt. But really cleaned the right away, the man just cutting enough timbers in to put a fence. I said, what you going to do about them stumps? Bill, just put the barbed wire over them pine stumps? Well, I reckon so. I said, why don't you get the bulldozer and just let the bulldozer man do like that route? Clean the right away, push the pine trees up while they're standing. Then cut them, you know, sell the timber after push them up. That's the way the Whitehurst done up yonder. And I said, the pine stump, it's kind of hard to push after you cut it down. You got to have that leverage, in other words, to kick it on over and get the tap root out.
Yeah.
Well, it's Willie's just going to leave them and let them rot out, in other words. He's going to put the barbed wire, you know, over it to try to get holes down, in other words.
I was over there the other day.
Had he started with it right away? I hadn't been
and
through that.
Frankie anymore. Said, no, he had to go over and help Willie. They had to get some stumps out of the way so they could put a fence in. And I didn't ask him what he was talking about.
That's it. Well, I didn't even go cut the thing right at the ground, I reckon, with another chainsaw,
I guess.
But I hadn't been back there. I told Eddie, I said, you been down and checked on your superintendent? He said, no, I haven't been back that way. I hadn't had no way except on the tractor, and I wasn't no drive back there, you see. It's another half, 3/4 of a mile, you know, for real.
I'm out of Willie's league.
But,
I didn't know how far out of his league I had got. But see, Willie got a plum thing. If he builds a fence, he wants it, you know, level. And if he gets a bale of hay, he wants it squared at the end. And you see this shed of mine out there, it's about this big in the eaves in the front, and the back is about that. Nobody ever noticed it.
That's right.
I call it
that's right.
But
Willie saw it.
Willie didn't see it. He didn't look.
He didn't.
And he don't respect anything of me anyhow. But see, I'm out of his league.
Yeah.
And if he put up a shed for me, he gonna plummet.
That's right. It'll be. What have you seen his shed?
Yeah.
Now, it's taken him 3 times what it ought to, but he got a good shed.
Yeah.
But as you say, Bill Anderson and I built that in the mine where I got that big truck on there.
Oh, you got a shed there.
And we've done a pretty good job. It ain't 2 inches off, but you can't tell it at all. Only thing, now, I told him, now, when we pulled an eaves in, we got to put the roof in. I told Bill, but Bill was supposed to have been a carpenter. I got him on in the carpenter, and he rolled with me, you know, and he's on the truck, you know, words when the man pulled and lied. Bill... The man told William and Cecil Pardy that all three of us lied. Said, don't you fella tell me I'm the law. And that's when Bill said, like he wants to use that backjack on somebody, don't he? Well, it's bad. In other words, you take a man, you can't talk to the law. In other words, he got the law on his side.
Yeah.
But the three of us against him won, and he told me, he said, a little truck, I had 2 big trucks in. I had 2 cars. Had a Model A and a V8.
Yeah.
And I had a pickup, see?
Yeah.
These 2 big trucks I worked in the Camp Blaine. I left one of them up there and one of them I hauled a hand back. And Bill Anderson lived on the other side of Willie and the party boy selling the produce out there. He was up in the front seat. And that man told me right there in Stark, you know, this side of Stark, the railroad there, just a short distance. He said, he pulled up and pulled out the siren, you know, and I had to pull over off the road, you know, and he stopped behind me, you know. Walked on out, you know, big man come on up there with a big gun and a stripe on him. Said, you know you're making 55 miles an hour when you cross that railroad? And I said, no, sir, I wasn't making 55. He said, don't tell me that. That's same as telling me I'm a liar. Well, I didn't think about it, in other words. I wouldn't have told him, but I wasn't going no 55 miles an hour. I was telling the truth.
Yeah.
And they always told me, you can't say anything against the truth.
Yeah,
and about that time, them 2 men were sitting there right.
Now, that's the end of Channel 2 Over and a continuation of the visit of Everett Smith this Tuesday at supper, the 15th of June, 1971. Channel 2 Over, the end of Channel 2 Over and a continuation of the visit with Everett this Tuesday at supper, the 15th of June, 1971. Channel 2 Over and a continuation, the end of Channel 2 Over and a continuation of the visit with Everett this Tuesday at supper, the 15th of June, 1971.